Good morning.
Hello.
Happy, what day is today? Thursday.
Nice.
Yeah.
It is.
What do we have going on today? All right, let me get the board ready here. I think Jakob might be joining.
Did you catch the part where Ian's updating it to use Australian email servers, as Wayne had predicted, was enough to keep it below the timeout that we were seeing. And so
Yeah,
we're not getting a timeout anymore.
I think that's working.
Yeah. But that
Yeah.
conversation was kind of buried in the channel with all the broker messages, so I think maybe you didn't see it, Valerie, so I was just pointing it out.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I was in a meeting with Jakob yesterday and he mentioned that and thought that that was the case. In that giant channel that's out of control.
Well, I guess, but that's good though, in that it's showing us that there are all these messages, and either those errors should be warnings or we should fix those errors. Because I do think this is a worthwhile exercise to have our software call out the kind of situation that we don't want to see and then deal with it so that it's either dealt with or we've understood that this is a routine thing, and then we change the logging so that, yeah, we can actually notice some of these things that need noticing.
Hey guys, good morning, good
Yeah,
afternoon, good
morning.
evening, whatever works.
But yeah, I guess we should keep an eye out for whether we're still seeing those problems with intermittent notice sending.
You guys are discussing the exceptions we're seeing?
Well, we're discussing the socket timeout that was handled and seeing if that
Yeah.
actually alleviated the notice problem.
Yeah, you're saying that we need to confirm that, right?
I just wasn't sure if Mallory had seen it, but she was saying that you talked to her about it, so that's cool.
Do we have Ian on this call? Oh yeah, there he is. Yeah, no, that was very nice to see, right? So we're not seeing those socket exceptions for some time, so that switch seemed to fix that. Yeah, so I don't know, Mallory, if there any way for you to confirm that the notice issue is gone? Or maybe we just wait for them to let us know.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about notices from them, but I meet with them this evening. But they've been reporting things pretty regularly by email or by ticket, so I think they would have reported
Okay, that was IL Dev 132, right? Some tenants not receiving email notifications.
it. Yeah, this
Gotcha. Yeah.
one.
Okay. So let's maybe, I don't know, did we put a note on this that the socket exceptions that is now fixed, right?
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, they did tell me that they started receiving them. Sorry.
But that was before Ian made the change. Yeah, maybe just drop a note saying that we no longer see the exceptions. And so we sort of hope that the problem is addressed. Yeah, so yeah, let's just close it and maybe just wait for it to, because there's no easy way to test this anyway.
Is it
Correct?
worth filing a ticket with Kayant on their Okapi client class that we're using to request that the method that's used to configure the HTTP client that's underneath it be made protected rather than private so that we can override it?
Well, just
Or
make a
is
pull
that.
request. I don't think there's any point filing anything with them. Send
Sure,
them a
sure.
pull request.
But
We
yeah,
just did that.
either way. Is it worth doing that, or can we just accept the 3-second timeout because it's been working most of the time for most things?
I don't care. It's up to you. I mean, since we have it dealt with,
Let's just stop using it.
yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's close. So this is close. That's awesome. And then I'm sorry, Mallory, if I'm sort of interjecting, but if you guys were looking into something, I just wanted to, yeah, to get some clarity on where we are with those exceptions and stuff. So that we're happy with this one, and then the continuous socket and SQL exceptions. I think that we can close. Is that correct, Ian?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So both kinds are gone now. And then we got the add exception notification for Trove prod and Trove tasks. And
Yeah,
I
I can.
extended that ticket to yesterday. I don't know. Did you have a chance to change that filter for the Slack channel?
I haven't changed it. Do you have everything you want captured in this ticket? Like, does it
Yeah,
say
I think so.
string
So
that you're looking for? Okay, cool.
I just added this note that to extend the motherless filter to include all messages matching exception.
Extend that. So, okay. All right.
Well, since you've been matching runtime exception and then Wayne changed it to include like SQL exception, if you change it to exception, it will catch all of it. So just
Okay.
make
So
it
just
simple.
exception is fine. Okay.
Just
Sure.
exception, capital E, is probably okay because then it will like a case sensitive match is okay because
Great.
it's gonna, it's gonna not match crap where exception where it is like in the message or something. So
True.
yeah,
Yeah,
that's
because
good. So yeah,
that
let's.
way we might actually want to downgrade it to a warning, like in some case where we'd be like, oh, by the way, there's an exception in something we don't care about, and we're putting different informational purposes in a debug log or whatever. So yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you will start see more sheds when you make that change. So then we can decide if it gets too noisy or not. I mean, I saw a bunch of illegal argument exceptions, concurrent modification exceptions in the code, a lot of stuff that looks pretty scary.
Yeah, we should deal with it.
So yeah, at least we'll deal with it, or at least have some notion when they happen, and try to see if they correlate with any bullshit
Yeah.
behavior that we're seeing.
We were
Okay,
noticing
so
some like out of index stuff too the other day. So whatever that out of index help
exactly,
was for, but yeah.
exactly. Okay, so let's close this. So that's in progress still. And then Ian, I don't know. Do we want to chat about this network stuff, network error encounter it, general slowness?
Yeah, I don't know if I've got anything for this yet. Mallory and I met the other day and talked about this, and we noticed that it was slow. I also noticed there was a exception about sort of connection leak thing. So I was wondering about that, but I didn't see anything like in metrics that indicated there's a crazy amount of traffic or OpenSQL connections. But after I restarted ModRS, things started getting snappy again, so that feels like a leak or something like that. But I've yet to replicate. Like, we restarted it, worked fine, tried it a couple hours later, still worked fine. And so I guess I don't know where we're at this morning. Maybe retest and see if it's slow again. I don't know. But the symptom was that, Mallory was putting in requests and like they were kind of failing, but then they would kind of repair themselves later. So it was just taking a long time for the messages to get across.
I
Mallory,
just
you were
wanted to
saying.
say, yeah, I did place a couple of requests in their prod system this morning and everything looked fine. And they updated the ticket. I sent them a message telling them that we did this restart and it seems a little, like it seems like it's working for now, but we're still looking at like what was going on. But they reported just stuff from the 19th, and then they said they would add anything else if they got any reports during their day yesterday, and they didn't. As
Okay.
far as I know, they didn't update the ticket, so I think it's
Maybe it's.
still behaving well.
Yeah. So
Okay.
it's possible that one of them had locked that, some one of those weird shared ModRS tables or something like that. So I guess I don't know where to go with this one. Just leave it open
Yeah.
until, or close it and reopen it if they report something, or I don't know.
I think maybe, well, let's put it in progress first, and then maybe so the only question is, does it make sense for you to create a ticket for the guys to address this array out of bounds exception.
Sure.
Yeah, so
I don't
do
know what
that.
it's
So
from at
create.
all, but
Yeah, no, I get that. But maybe just try to put as much information as you can. I don't know if there was anything else besides this line that you dropped on Slack. And then we'll have creator Jason look into it.
Yeah, like the stack trace and a couple of lines in either direction to try to get an idea of like where this was happening. But if it's not
Yeah.
reproducible, it'll be tricky to really guarantee potentially, unless it's like in this line here, it had that.
Yeah,
Does
yeah.
that have the word
So
exception in it? Will it get caught?
yeah, it
It
does. You
does.
see? Array index out of bounds exception.
Okay, great. Okay, so I'll add that for starters and we'll see if it pops up.
Yeah, perfect. So other than that, let's just close it, I guess. Should we restart Mother Rest daily or nightly for them? I'm not
I
even
don't know
kidding
if
you.
we need to do that yet because it seems to be holding up. But if it doesn't hold up, I think, yeah, I guess we could do that.
No, that's a different ticket, Mallory. That's not
Oh.
it. That's because this one is for developers to fix this problem.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
I
so
don't
and if you could just link it up to with the one that Ian has. Yes. And we can close Ian's. I don't think there's much more to do for now.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe just leave a comment here. Yeah. So like I don't know, Ian, if it makes sense to have like a cron job that rollout restarts every day since the system is quiet during the day anyway. So I know
Yeah, if it
this is insane, but
right, yeah, not ideal, but if you know, if we get slowness again and then a restart clears it, then I will consider that. Yep.
yeah, okay. Good. All right. And yeah, should we scroll up to Jason? Curtis back next week, right?
Yes. Jason, you were out yesterday, but how are things going?
Well, on I guess Tuesday, I was trying to address that thing that we were talking about with Jakob when a message comes in to add a condition as part of the ship message that we didn't want to have it transition states, and I saw where that was hard coded and whatever, and I thought I dealt with it. I had tested it locally. By sending an XML message with the status of loaned and a condition of other, and then a cost in the offered costs. So simulating what I thought was the situation and confirmed that my change was working with that. And so I put that up on Trove Dev and Jakob tried it and it doesn't work there. And it looks like apparently potentially related to it being in request sent on Trove Dev, whereas I was trying with it in expects to supply. But since I wasn't looking at the current state, I was actually just looking at what the condition or the status was set on the message coming in. I wouldn't think that would affect it, but I'll look in the protocol log for the requests that Jakob tested with and see what I can see. Maybe there's something else different about that message versus the XML I sent locally here. And I'll try to reproduce it as similarly as possible to see if I can figure out what's going on there.
Cool. Thanks, Jason. And what about the other ones?
That's all I got and got to on Tuesday.
No, I know, but where are we? I'm not, so we had this at the Zettafell stuff. Maybe
Okay,
just
so
remind us.
The
Yeah.
translation one, I did all the direct translations there. I don't think I saw any comments yet from Deborah or Tara on the relative priority of some of this. There were these two aspects of it, the what do you call it, custom properties on directory entries that they don't even use, and a setting that would actually require the most effort to get around. And I'm hoping that it's okay if we just don't translate those. But there is still a little bit of work that I wanted to do because it seemed reasonable, because it's actually displayed to users in their normal workflow. And that would be setting it for to use those translation rather than the strings in the back end when something has no tags and when a directory entry is managed. And so I was going to make those changes yet and still haven't done that piece. And so
Okay.
that's why that ticket is still open.
So.
But I, based on my understanding from our conversation on Tuesday, it's actually more important to them. And what I should first do is start trying to upgrade the UI to work with the Ramsons Stripes packages.
Well, it's important to Dom. I mean, I hold on. Let's make sure that we have stuff in order. Okay, so close this, Mallory, please. And so that's the translations. And but what about the 159, which is in review? Where are we with this?
That one is in review. The notice of
Yeah.
fishing. Which one are we talking about? Okay.
This 159, can you see
is
the screen?
Oh, yeah, I
call
have no idea
numbers
what that
with a
one is on.
comma.
Yeah, that's been up there for a while now.
Okay, so what is this waiting for? Or who is this waiting for?
I was just going to say, Deborah's been out, so I don't know if she's had a chance to help Tara QA this, because they were going to look into it, I think, but maybe I'm confusing this with a different ticket. What were you going to say, Jason?
I was just going to say that this was a while ago. Apparently, it was August 12th, whenever that was, that David had let me know he had deployed that change to SLMP 3 and 4 and configured the gateway with the new delimiter. And so that's been running over there. And I let Mallory and Tara know about that. And so, yeah, they're planning to review it at some point, and I guess when
Yeah, I
Deborah
think we
helps.
needed Deborah's help. Yeah, I'm meeting with Deborah this morning so I can talk to her about this.
Yeah. And please ask them to update the ticket. I mean, we should have that information on the ticket, right? I mean, that David has deployed this and this is waiting for somebody to test, because this is like we're looking at this and we don't know. So if they could just drop some notes. I don't know how we want to do this in general, guys. Like when we have a situation like this where something is finished, and it should be David or somebody else pick it up for deployments and then Tara or Deborah for review. Do we want to reassign that ticket, or can we just have some agreement that this is like that's how we understand it? What would be the best flow?
Well, what's been working well for us in Trove, at least, I think, is keeping the existing assignment, because I like that it's on my radar, so that I can easily be notified of any changes along the way. And it's sort of something that I should also be looking at. And that I don't move it into
Yeah.
review because I should be able to deploy it myself, right? So I typically deploy the changes via GitHub Actions, and then I
But you
move it into
couldn't.
review. Well, in this
But
case,
this
I
time,
couldn't. Yeah, so I
yeah.
moved into review once I heard from David, and I
Yeah.
also let them know on Slack.
But then put a comment to that extent,
Yeah.
Jason, on the ticket, just so we see, right? Like tag David and write it there, hey, I cannot deploy, so this is over to you.
Yeah,
So
he did that, and so, but yeah, either of us should have updated the ticket at that point. It's true.
No, but that's fine. I like that it retains the original assignee. Let's just make sure that those guys know that we expect them to fix because they're not on this call, right? I mean, it's slightly different with Trove when Mallory's here and everybody's here. We just discuss it, but it's like they're just going to sit there and
That's
wait
why
on
I
their
did mention to them in
customers.
Slack, but yeah, I can ping them on the ticket as well. And I think in
Okay,
general
cool.
though that for each project, so like for Trove, Mallory knows that she's doing the QA. So anything that's in review, she can have a filter and look at those tickets. So it doesn't need to necessarily be specifically assigned because she knows she's reviewing
Oh
those
yeah, for
ones.
trolls,
So
there is no
similarly,
button there.
So, but it's just a matter of having that clear for ZFL whose responsibility it is to see those, I guess.
Well, and we're working on like a transition, like we're working on the Deborah retiring transition, like the analysts are. So, you know, like this is top of mind for us too. So, you know, we'll have a little bit more structure hopefully soon on our side.
All right. Okay. So let's just finish with the interview ones, right? So we've got the 130 with the copyright codes.
Yeah, this is the one we talked about this briefly last time, but the translation change works in the drop-down menu, but then it doesn't get reflected in the request form. I think Jason, you said you just had to do like one like little thing for this.
But that actually slipped my mind on Tuesday because this is in review. So I guess maybe kick it back to in progress when you review something and I miss something.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
And guys,
I was aware. I just, yeah.
that's a good habit. And then we've got this notification trigger for new supply requests.
That
What should we do
I'm
about?
I need to just finish it. So that I have mostly implemented, but I have to do extra work now to be able to run it locally.
And remind me, this had nothing to do with those missing notices, right?
Right, this is a new kind of notice that did not exist until now. But I need
Sure. Thank you.
to add a new, I need to make a new div like a new deployment locally so that I can add a directory service that isn't the old directory and is in fact the new directory that will have the admin email so that I can actually see that it's using the new directory for this sort of new code path for these notices.
Good.
But
Thank
that's
you. They'll
going
be
to be un
excited about
un
that.
unfortunately fiddly to do that. Or alternatively, I can just put it up on Sydney, Melbourne and test it there and then follow up with additional commits as I go. But unless it, if it doesn't just work, that might eventually add up to be slower. But if it does work pretty straightforwardly, then maybe that'll be quicker, but also noisier because then I'm debugging on a branch, but or on, not on a branch, on master. So it'll clutter up the Git history.
If you need to do that, I think that's fine. You know, that there's only you and Kurt really deploying to these environments. Shouldn't really be
So the
messing things
downside of, yeah, so I mean, I
up.
was considering that, but the other downside is that I would have to wait for however many hours for the notices to happen. Whereas locally, I can mess the database and have the timer go away every 2 seconds or whatever.
That makes sense. We'll try it and you'll see. I mean, there is always an
Yeah.
option to get it deployed if you don't
Yeah.
find
But
any
first, I got to fix the
places.
other thing.
So,
That's what I
okay.
was going to do. And then I put that on hold because of the thing that we were talking about with the loaned message and the condition being overridden, the status being overridden.
All
So
right. Do we
after
have
I
a
finish the
ticket for
status
that?
thing, which one should I go back to? That's 186, but I don't think it's assigned to me.
Oh, it's here. Should this be
Or it's maybe not in the sprinter. I don't know, whatever.
should this be
No,
in
it is. It is.
progress?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and yeah,
That's
put
what
it back
that.
in progress. I think if Jason's investigating, yeah, I don't know. Like Mallory, you be the judge. I don't know what the priority should be here. Like it's about a couple of different things that Jason has got on his plate. So maybe we should decide what needs to get finished first.
I think for Trove, the most important thing is probably these notice triggers. So that's probably from my perspective, but the ZFL stuff is also, I know that they would like those done. So I guess
So what
I don't know
I'm
how far you were on either of these since you have both of them in progress. Like if one's closer to being finished, maybe do that first.
which of these
What?
I don't know what you mean, like these
Oh,
there's like four there.
sorry. So 126 is a ZFL ticket and 182 is a Trove ticket. And I was saying, like, whichever one of those you were further along in, maybe you should finish first after
Well, the
doing
notification trigger
the.
is more complicated. So I would like to finish that one first because it's more important for me to have thought about that recently. So
Okay.
I would do it in that order then. And then I guess we'll just see where that goes. And you can let me know if I should do Ramson's UI or the translation stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like I said, I am talking with Deborah in a little bit, so I'll get a sense of her feeling on that as well.
Perfect. So I have an interesting thing that came in my email from. Oh, and there's another one, right? Oh, I thought it's the same one. Right? Smart. Jerry at Minitex has taken a
Just
ticket.
hold on, just one second. I'm sorry. So,
Okay.
drop the priority on the 186, Mallory. Let's put it on P3, right? Or
Oh,
even lower.
I thought I was finishing that one.
Yeah, he's gonna finish
No.
this one.
Oh, he's not finished. But on top of the notification trigger.
That's the next one, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we've got the this one, the notification trigger. Gotcha. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Jerry Miller was saying I had to marked a ancient ticket that I put in 3 years ago about the autoresponder, and that hey, it would be kind of nice to make this configurable.
They marked it must have. I got the email too.
Yeah. So I don't know if we want to have a conversation with ourselves about that, or yeah, I don't know.
So Minitex is they're currently gathering up a potential grant again. So that
Oh,
might
good.
be they're working on identifying the projects or issues that they're interested in as potential ideas right now. So I wonder if part of reviewing
This
the
is probably
backlog
part of
is.
that.
Yeah, exactly. So
Well, that's good because
I
this is
don't,
actually a fair bit of
yeah.
work and so could chew up a lot of grant money. So I like that, I think.
Yeah, the grant, the good thing about this grant is that it wouldn't be due until September 2026.
Oh, nice.
So,
You mean we could
but
actually do something on a non-rushed basis?
Well, no, don't
That'd be
even think
oh.
that. That's not how anything works.
I kind of figured.
No, I'm just kidding. But it depends how fast they get
Hey, matches my
everything and
reality.
how soon they get, get word on whether they get the funding. And also, there's a product committee component here because they're working on a process for intaking enhancement requests. And so I'm not sure if we're going to have to go through them as well, or it's a little bit of an interesting dance right now. So, but anyway, I think that that activity is probably related to them considering things for their grant funds.
Okay, so nothing we need to react to at the moment.
I don't think so.
I was just a little concerned because I know they've been having problems with
That's true.
the what you call it, cluster merging in the reservoir. And I was concerned that maybe they were misunderstanding this issue as being related to that stuff. And it's not really, because this is about the autoresponder looking up in the LMS and which holdings it's choosing to consider as a good candidate for filling a request. And that's the logic that's behind that.
Well,
So.
the clustering issues generally are also high on their list of potential projects. But that's different than this as well. But
Yeah, I was just making sure that I'm just wondering if they knew that.
guys,
Yeah,
I'm just wondering whether it would be make sense maybe to have a separate meeting for this, especially if you're, I don't know, collecting sort of requirements for this grant project, Mallory.
I mean, I have asked for them. Like, what they gave us was like a list of like one word things, and like we need way more information on what they actually want.
Gotcha, of course. Yeah.
But I do think we will need to have a separate meeting for this because it will definitely, it's always complicated.
I just
I'll
wanted to
let you,
put that out there that this happened in case
yeah.
we didn't notice, and also that hey, maybe they misunderstood it, and that's really all I need to say on that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so yeah, that's
Sorry,
what I
go
wanted
you.
to talk to. No,
Okay.
I think you want to do the same thing. Yeah, let's maybe just take a look at stuff that is kind of outstanding, if there's anything critical.
There's a couple of these broker tickets. I don't know if you want to talk about these, Jakob.
I don't think any of them is critical. The first one, maybe that's P3, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, the first one, that was a change. You might recall, at some point, David had to duplicate the tiers for the branches, tiers and
Yeah.
networks for the branches. We kind of considered that a temporary solution. Then I told them, hey, we don't need this anymore. I was wrong, actually. Then he put it back. So this is nothing pressing, but it's potentially something that we should do at some point. I don't know, maybe you can drop the priority on it to P4. So long story short, he needs to have that those branches with tiers and networks for the system to build the rollout co correctly until this is done. And I don't think we should be
Oh,
spending too
okay.
much time on this now. Yeah, so let's just leave this. And then this unfilled message. Here's the thing, and I don't know, maybe not pressing also. When you look at those, we have a bunch of those warnings, right, on the Trove product code exception channel from the broker. Most of those warnings are produced when the message cannot be delivered. It's usually message from a supplier, and it cannot be delivered to the requester because the transaction has already moved to the next supplier in list. So there's another ticket where I started doing some work to actually allow those messages from the skipped suppliers to be delivered. So if as a supplier, you unfill, it's on my board. As a supplier, you
Oh, okay.
unfill. Research still allows you to message, right? I mean, you can go even message on a closed request. None of those messages will be delivered because the broker validates the supplier. When the message comes in, it validates whether that's a message from the selected supplier. If not, it's gonna fail that message with like the confirmation error. Sometimes there is some valuable information in those notifications. So you can see, like here, you know, they will unfill, but then he will write a message saying, actually, I could ship it to you if you change this or you did that, you know, stuff like that. And that message, of course, never gets delivered because the broker has already moved to the next supplier in the list. So I did experimenting with like delivering those messages. It needs to be very careful because when we have this broker, there is really one sensible state for the entire transaction that makes sense. And we don't want a situation where we start confusing the requester with some weird ass states that are no longer relevant, you know, because the supplier, the skipped supplier will be in an unfilled state or some other state which is no longer a state for the entire transaction. So this is actually very tricky in the broker. I started doing some work. It's probably gonna take me some time. But the outcome of this ticket here is that you'd be able to, not, if you were a skipped supplier, you will be able to send notifications and they won't change the status of the transaction. You will just be able to see them in the messages. We need to talk about this, Mallory, because this could be confusing in some cases.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Especially if we don't somehow indicate
Identify.
clearly, identify that this message was actually a message from like a previous supplier or something, right? So I won't be merging this change, and if we do this, we will probably put it behind some sort of feature flag. Let's talk about this, you and I. Until we fix this, though, just so you know, we're gonna be seeing a lot of those warnings when it says cannot deliver, because it cannot, right? It gets a notification and it cannot deliver the notification to the requester because the supplier doesn't match and it's just gonna fail it. So
Maybe we
that's
should downgrade that
one.
to a warning instead of an error so that it
It
doesn't
is a
surface in
warning.
that channel.
It is a warning.
Maybe we shouldn't be surfacing warnings.
Yeah, maybe. So, but basically it's good to know about this, right? So this is that situation. Now, the other is kind of like this unfilled one. The one it's less, I would say, critical, but it's also the same nature. So like when they send an unfilled, so they, you know, like they don't fill the request, that message gets caught by the broker to resume this rota loop. Right, so it gets that message and then it's going to start looking for the next supplier. But this message, like any other message, can contain a note. And that note gets lost in the process because the broker will never forward the unfilled message. It will just kind of silence it, right? It will just trigger the loop to continue looking for the next supplier and the message will never get delivered to the requester. Now, this is a bit more tricky. And the question is what we should do about this. Should we, yeah, I mean, one way would be, hey, let's turn that into a notification so that you can see, you know, there's some example. Did I put some examples here? I should put some examples. It's again one of those warnings that I picked up from the channel. I'll try to look for some examples. But there is some, again, there's some valid notes in this unfilled message, you know. Yeah,
So
so.
I created this ticket because they've been asking about this as well, is to somehow expose. It's I think this is directly related. This cannot supply reason is the unfilled message, right?
Yeah,
Like
this is related to the extent that this will never get delivered.
yeah, because it's in the broker logs if they would go look there, but like that's kind of confusing. Like it says I put a note. We weeded this and said it was unavailable, but like it's not exposed anywhere in the UI, like for them to know why a supplier didn't fill it. So I don't know how this exactly relates to
It is
your.
exactly the same problem. So link up this ticket. It's
Okay.
exactly the same problem. That original unfilled message never gets delivered, right? I mean, it gets picked up by the broker. The broker starts looking for more suppliers and then starts conversation with the next supplier. That message never gets delivered. If it gets to the end of rota, it generates an unfilled message on its own. That message will not have any notes because the unfilled The unfilled message comes from the fact that it's reached the end of rota, not because some one of the suppliers responded unfilled, right? So we're getting here now in the limitations of the protocol for this broker usage. There's really no good solution to this. So yeah, let's think about this. I think in all those cases, this unfilled case, and also in the case of notifications being sent after the supplier is skipped, the best solution I can think of is to just send it as a notification message. But again, it would be nice if they could distinguish, right? So when they pop up the chat, they can see, okay, this notification was from this guy, right? And this notification was from this guy, right? So
Right.
they
I thought we did that. We don't do that.
do we?
I thought it indicates this, like, does
No.
it just say supplier? It doesn't say which supplier. I thought it gave the symbol. Like, if it's a from, isn't it? I haven't looked at a notification in 2 seconds, so let's kind of go.
I just did an unfilled one because I filed the ticket.
I just mean notes in general. Like, I thought it says where they came from.
Oh.
Does it just say supplier or does it say which one?
Oh, let's see.
I don't see
This
that it
just
says
says,
them.
yeah, it just says C cost. Yeah, it doesn't say
and this was
the
included in the
supplier.
condition, yeah, from the supplier.
Yeah, so if we could maybe create it like a UI ticket for this and then
Wait, is it just
print
the UI?
the
Like, are those messages stored with the symbol of, or maybe they are, and it's stored as a foreign key onto the copy of the directory in the in ModRS, and that's why it's not showing.
Well, but did it ever show?
I
I
think
don't remember
I
it.
thought it did, but maybe it never did.
No,
But I
I
think,
don't
like,
recall that ever show.
even if it's, so if it's, it might be a front end issue that we're not. East is just broken. But it might be just a front end issue if that information is there and we're not surfacing it. My point is that the information might not be there on the back end either. We might not be storing the origin of the notes. We might just be storing the note. So it might be more than just a front end ticket.
So let's not try to solve it now, but I think you get the problem here, right, Mallory? So like if we do this, if I forward those notifications, either for skipped suppliers or the unfilled, it is, I think, quite important that we indicate who the message is from. Otherwise, it might be confusing
It would just be
to
good in
them.
general, I think, to have that.
Yeah, so I think we should have like a front end ticket for this, and which might also be some
Okay.
sort of back end changes, as Jason is
Yes,
saying, right?
exactly.
If it's not even stored, so those messages you can see who sent them.
So
Because
is it just supposed to show the symbol of
this
the
becomes like a
supplier, or
group
do we
chat
want to?
now.
Yeah, basically. But so is it just to show the symbol of the supplier, or maybe it's worth also in some way differentiating, like the current supplier would be in bold or green or something, versus the other suppliers would be just not as like to somehow highlight this is the current supplier.
I think that might be a good idea.
But yeah, the main part is having some way at all of distinguishing if it's not even showing it, then that's the priority.
Okay. I will create a ticket and link it to these unfilled and cannot supply, because that seems all kind of the
Yeah.
same flavor of issue.
Yeah, it's the same flavor, and it's just that, in general, guys, I mean, those notification messages are very special, right? I mean, even though, like, on the protocol level, it's just the same kind of message, it is special because it can come at any point. Now it can come from anybody, really. I mean, you could even, we did this validation so that it can only accept messages from the selected supplier early on in the broker, so you could never send from anybody else. I'm gonna now kind of relax this requirement so that it can send from the skipped ones, right? So if there was a skipped one, you've been already part of the transaction, you will be able to send it. In principle, we could allow messaging for the entire rota, even the ones that didn't even send anything yet, or even for the entire system, right? I mean, you could even send them. But I think that's going quite too far at that point. So like I'm just going to make it possible to send from the skipped ones. But even then, it really is important that we show who the message is from, because it will be crazy, especially that they can, send us notifications after unfilling, right? So like you've already moved on to the next supplier, you might be already messaging with that supplier, and then suddenly the guys re are reviewing the request and they decide to send you a message saying, "Oh, you know what? I could have filled it for you if you did this and that," right? And that's gonna
But
be and there is like there are examples of that.
we don't really have the capability to switch supplier, do we?
Well,
Can we switch supplier? Like, so they get skipped and then they say, oh, actually, we have it. Is it easy for them to switch to that supplier if they want to? Or is that just.
no,
Yeah,
they
so.
cannot switch. They
Yeah,
cannot
so like.
switch.
But if
They
it
could
does get to the end of
resubmit, though.
rota, they could re-request it. So they
Yeah,
would that'd be useful. Whereas they might not have bothered. It's like, oh, we got to the end of the rota, no one had it. I guess they don't have it. So that's what the patron gets to see. Versus, oh, okay, there's this note here that says they actually can. So if we just re-request. So
I
yeah,
mean,
still
it's a lot
useful.
of interesting situations, like the way people use the system. When you look at those logs, those failed warnings, if you pop up the transaction ID from it and open it up, you'll see like all the craziness that happens. Okay, so yeah, so I think that's important that we have that ticket. And then anything else, Mallory, we should discuss?
I have this dollar sign one that I think unfortunately might have to go back to you, Jason. I didn't catch this when we were testing it out, but when you submit a copy request, the agreed cost isn't like immediately populated with the max fee the way that loans are. And so this it's not here when you first create the request, and then it doesn't get the dollar sign on the requester side. This is a loan that I did this like a second before, and it does have the dollar sign. So I think, and if you use the has cost filter, the copy requests don't show up in here on the requesting side, but it just behaves differently than loans. It's fine on the supplier side, which is in some ways more important, but it's just I don't know, a slight
Well,
difference
it
in
shouldn't.
behavior.
So I thought the dollar sign thing was about the max cost, not the agreed cost. Like it wasn't.
Well, yeah, I guess either way, like if it has that max cost field in, I guess that should be the trigger and not the agreed cost. But that's the only thing that I can see different
So maybe it's
between.
a situation where it was sent. No, because if it had no cost in the beginning, you can't add a cost condition because they didn't want that.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it would be max cost that would be the thing, because agreed cost doesn't happen until you accept it, right?
Right.
But that's not updated.
I guess like
Whereas max
I'm
cost is there from the beginning.
right, but if you create a request in here, I just want to show you how they behave differently, because like I'm not sure if I'm explaining it right, but like this is a rush loan, and as soon as you
And
create
copy.
it, I'll show you. Like
Okay.
so this immediately has both of these filled in, so I don't know what the trigger is, but if you come out here, she's got the dollar sign. And if you come in and do the same exact thing for a copy, rush copy, the agreed cost isn't immediately, and I don't know why, and it's not really important for this to be here until the end, I guess, but
No,
like,
but it's still useful and good to know. Okay, I
and then it
can.
doesn't get that dollar sign, and it doesn't show up as having a cost.
So should I fix that first?
I mean, I'm gonna assign it to you, but like I think you have a bunch of other things. I don't think it's necessarily more important, but it's like definitely something we wanna like make consistent with the rest of
It's just a matter of what order to look at them in. But I do expect that this one would be quicker than the finishing off the notice, because the notice is requiring me to set up a new development environment.
I guess I would still stay focused on the notices since that's the one that you said you wanted to do while it was fresh. So, I think that's okay. Like the cost thing, we're not gonna necessarily put that out to them before we do the notices. So it's like, they'll all get
Okay.
done.
Sounds good.
The only other thing I have to tell you is that they keep reporting a journal issue pub type problem, but I have not been able to understand exactly what the problem is, but what the problem is. The something happens when we send journal type pub type to Alma and it shows up as a book, and so far I haven't figured out exactly where the problem is arising. When I do, I will create a ticket for that. I think that's maybe the other outstanding thing that they have flagged for me that is semi-important to them right now. That's the only thing that I have kind of like lurking in my, I'd like to add to this like list. There's something weird going on with the metadata, but I don't know what.
Mallory, the overdue failure. I think
Oh yeah.
you correctly noticed that it was because of that change from ModRS to Alma. What should we do about this then?
Like, I mean, is this besides the fact that it's creating a lot of noise on the channel as being an error? Like, I'm not sure, like basically, like the both reshare tenants are still getting the overdue messages.
Well, they're
Like,
sending them, right? I mean, what is receiving them is the Alma, no, the reshare ones. No, it's the Alma ones. Sorry, it's the Alma receiving it, right? So, that's why there's an error. So, I mean, something is out of sync here. So either they should go and kill all those reshare requests manually, close them.
I think that's their, I think their plan is to like close out the existing requests and the reshare tenants, and then once those are all cleaned out, then it won't matter. But like some of these Alma libraries have a lot of requests still in their queues, so it might take a while. Some of these libraries are still switching. Like we did an ISO switch this week, a tenant from a reshare tenant to an ISO site this week. So they're still kind of like in process of getting some of them switched over. And so I think we might continue to see this until they finish out those requests.
Okay, well, I think that's fine. There is no good way for us to silence this, because it is an error, right? There is a request that is messed up. So as long as we just know this and there is a plan for I guess, because when you say they're switching, right? I mean, so how does the switch process look like? Because they Did they rep did they replicate those requests in Alma, or like, oh, what?
No, I understand that they're going to keep their reshare tenants alive long enough to close out anything that was created when they were using the reshare tenant. And then like all new requests are being handled through their Alma endpoint now. So it's definitely,
But
they did
they
some testing
yeah.
before we did this. And there's like a handful of workflows where they'll have to do something manually, but like for the most part, they could close out requests, I thought. So they were
No, I
interested in
mean,
keeping
they
it.
with the, those requests are now fucked, right? I mean, there is a transaction that, I mean, they cannot communicate, right? I mean, that's why what we're seeing, because the requester, the supplier thinks that the request is in Alma, because that's what we did with this directory change, which actually I don't think we should have done it. We should have created a new entry, but we must have changed their existing entries with the same IDs, to switch them over to Alma. So the supplier thinks that the stuff is in Alma and keeps on sending messages to Alma. It's overdue in this case, but it's going to be any message, right? So if they wanted to close that request with received, that's the same story, right?
Yeah. Why is that not the tenant anew? Is there? I think that this tenant was also a reshare tenant to start, though. So I feel like they're getting both messages on both sides. I don't know. It's weird. But
Well, what I'm saying is this is the supplier, right? I mean, and
yeah.
this supplier is keeps on being a reshare tenant, right? Or did they move to Alma?
I think they moved to online as well. Video. Oops. Video. Oh no. Okay. I guess the supplier is still a reshare tenant. Sorry.
Yeah, so supplier is still reshare, and then you see, I guess there is some automated process that sends those overdues, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that fails. It doesn't show up here as failed for whatever reason, but it does fail. If they wanted to complete this, it won't get completed on the requester, because that requester now, like, there's no way to communicate with this requester. If they send it a message, it won't get there, because it will get sent to Alma.
All right. Wow. I don't know why I did that. Sorry. Yeah, I mean they are aware of the like the risks associated with switching from one from the reshare tenant to the ISO tenant, and that there's going to be some manual intervention required.
Okay.
You know,
Okay.
we tried to tell them not to if there was ISO sites that they should wait, but they didn't want to wait. So that was their choice. So they have to clean up the mess. But
Okay. I think that's fine.
yeah,
We
so I
should,
guess we're still gonna see the errors is the bottom line, but I don't know if that's is that like besides showing up as an error, is it causing like other like un like any like of these other larger
It
issues,
just
like
no. It just shows noise in the channel, right? So it just makes it harder for us to catch other real
yeah.
problems. So it will be best if they just closed out those requests, right? So if they already switched to Alma, I think it will be the time to close them, because they have some active requests that will just produce this noise, because this ongoing overdue.
Yeah.
So maybe let's just prompt them to do this, right? So, like, if there is no
Okay.
tenant, no reshare tenant anymore that's now in Alma, let's manually close out those requests, because it's pointless to have them there. I mean, they're unfixable, those requests. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I will. I'm talking with them tonight, so I can discuss that.
So that's a source of a bunch of those warnings. And then there's another one which you probably saw. It just keeps on popping up, this NUWS, which I think it was a reshare tenant, then it was an Alma tenant, then we reverted it back, or some other craziness happened there, I don't know. But there is you will notice that there's like a bunch of warnings from that too. And that one
That
is completely.
one was really messed up. That whole situation was kind of a nightmare. I don't know.
So we still have it, like, produce a bunch of stuff. There was a very weird situation, like, when I looked at it, because Unlike the ones that you see here with this overview, where we have modified the original directory entries to switch and switch them over to Alma, which made the broker kind of like switch them mid-transaction to Alma as well. And now we're seeing a lot of those failures. This NUWS was different. It's like a new entry was created for the Alma one. So it was like a separate entry. That entry took over the symbols from the previous entry. So now we have an entry in the broker which is like symbol less, like it's got no symbols, and it is attached to a bunch of transactions. And when there is any message on that transaction, the broker tries to send it, and then it just fails, like just flips out.
So all of these are like really messed up. The 61 that they have left in here.
Probably we would need to check in the logs, but I think most of them will be pretty messed up. I'll send you the link to that broker entry.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's this one entry that like peer entry which used to be this NUWS, and it's now like orphaned entry, like doesn't have any symbols whatsoever, but it is still attached as a supplier or request, I can't remember, to a bunch of those transactions, and it produces noise in the log as well.
Yeah.
I'll create a ticket for that, and then put some links. You can take a look at that too. I don't know what the solution is best. Close them out. If we're not using it or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if these even like what's going on with these ones that they were submitting up until the day that they switched. 'Cause they have some that are still like in circulation, but all these requests sent, they should probably switch over to Alma and close these. I'll talk to Trove about that tonight.
Okay. Good. Oh, and we're getting some new interesting errors now. Jason, did you see this? I'm just looking at the channel at 4 p.m., so like a minute ago. So Trove
Oh
must
wow.
be up.
No, I'm not watching
I
it
just
actively.
love it. I
I just
mean, it's like the errors from other rest. There's such a joy.
Oh yeah.
HTTP error 400, response validation failed. FWK 005 parse may not be called while parsing. Beauty.
What does that
Whatever that
mean?
means.
Probably some XML parsing thing with ISO messages or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I'm
we
not.
did this. We saw this at some point, Ian, right? Like it was some sort of, I think it's related to some concurrency issue. Like when it tries to do some XML validation or some other shit, it is causing some exceptions. Like whatever, I can remember, but if we had those exception, we'll probably see this. So we'll probably see more of those errors when Ian changes the filter. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything else?
I'm good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.